Hello everybody, this is Osho Radio. Osho Radio brings you a discourse by Osho and music from the world of Osho. You can download all Osho discourses from oshoworld.com.
Shima, 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 ya. 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 Shima, 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 shima.
Shima, 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 shima.
Today's discourse is from the Tantra Vision, Volume 1, Number 5. Osho says, man is a myth, a potential, a possibility. Don't think that you are a man yet. Your life is only an opportunity to become conscious. In fact, Osho says, alone you can easily fall asleep again. You can hide, and you can make up nice theories for yourself. It's better to be with a group of people who want to wake up also. You can remind each other on the way. And the best is to find somebody to help you, somebody who knows the way, a master.
man is a myth. And the most dangerous myth. Because if you believe that man exists, then you don't try to evolve the man at all. There is no need. If you believe that you are already a man, then all growth stops. You are not already a man. You are just a potentiality to be. You can be. You may not be. You may miss. Remember, it can be missed. Man is not born. It is not a given fact. You cannot take it for granted. It is just a possibility. Man exists as a seed, not as a tree, not yet. Man is not yet actual. And the difference between the potential and the actual is great. Man, as he exists, is just a machine. Yet he works. Yet he succeeds in the world. Yet he lives a so-called life and dies. But remember, he exists not. His function is that of a mechanism. He is a robot. Man is a machine. Yes, this machine can grow something in it which can go beyond mechanism. This machine is no ordinary machine. It has tremendous potentiality to go beyond itself. It can produce something transcendental to its own structure. Sometimes it has produced a Buddha, a Christ, a Gurdjieff. Sometimes it has produced a man. But you don't believe that you are already a man. If you believe, your belief will be suicidal. Because once we believe that something is already there, then we stop looking for it. Then we stop creating it. Then we stop discovering it. Then we stop evolving it. Just think, an ill person, seriously ill person, thinks he is healthy. Why he should go to the doctor? Why he should take any medicine? Why he should go under treatment? Why he should be willing to go to the hospital? He believes he is healthy. He is in perfect health. And he is dying. His belief will kill him. That's why I say this myth is very dangerous. The most dangerous myth ever evolved by the priests and the politicians. That man is already on the earth. These millions of people on the earth are just possibilities. And unfortunately, majority of them are never going to become actual. Unfortunately, many of them will die as machines. What do I mean when I say man is the machine? I mean that man lives out of the past. Man lives out of a dead structure. Man lives out of habit. Man lives a life of routine. Man goes on moving in the same circle, in the same rut again and again and again. Can't you see the vicious circle in your life? The same things you have been doing every day. Hoping, being angry, desiring, being ambitious, being sensual, sexual, being frustrated, again hoping, again the whole circle moves. Each hope brings to a frustration, never it is otherwise. And after each frustration, a new hope, and the circle starts moving. In the East, we call it the wheel of samsara. It is a wheel. The spokes are the same. And you are deluded by it again and again. You again start hoping. And you know you have hoped before. You have hoped millions of times. And nothing happens out of that hope. Just the wheel goes on moving and goes on killing you, goes on destroying your life. Time is running out of your hands. Each moment that is last forever. And you go on repeating the old. And this is what I mean when I say man is a machine. I agree with George Gurdjieff absolutely. He used to say that you don't have a soul yet. He was the first man to say it so drastically. That you don't have a soul yet. Yes, the soul can be born in you, but you will have to give birth to it. You will have to become capable to give birth to it. Down the centuries, the priests have told you, you have already that soul. That you are already that man. That is not so. You are only potentially so. You can become actually too, but the myth has to be destroyed. See the fact of it, you are not a conscious being. And if you are not a conscious being, how can you be a man? What is the difference between a rock and you? What is the difference between an animal in you? What is the difference between a tree and you? The difference is that of consciousness. But how much consciousness you have? Just a flicker here and there. Just sometimes, in rare moments, you become conscious. And that is only for seconds, and again you fall back into unconsciousness. Yes, sometimes it happens, because it is your potentiality. Sometimes it happens in spite of you. One day, the sun is rising, and you fall into tune with existence, and suddenly it is there. The beauty of it, the benediction of it, the fragrance of it, the light of it. Suddenly it is there and you have a taste of what it would be, what it can be, what it is. But the moment you become alert that it is there, it is already gone. Only a memory is left. Only for rare moments, sometimes in love, sometimes watching a full moon, sometimes a rising sun, sometimes sitting in a silent mountain cave, sometimes looking at a child playing, giggling, yes, sometimes in music, but these moments are rare. If an ordinary man, the so-called man, achieves 7 moments of awareness in his whole life, that will be too much. Rarely, very rarely, just a ray enters and then it is gone. and you are back to your trivial life, dull and dead. And this is not so only with ordinary people. It is so with your so-called extraordinary people. Just the other day I was reading about Carl Jung. One of the greatest psychologists of this age. But sometimes one wonders whether to call these people psychologists or not. He was a very restless man. Absolutely restless. At the age of 45, Carl Jung fell in love with a woman. He was a married man, with a very loving wife. Nothing was wrong, but must be the restlessness. It almost always happens that near about the age 45, one starts feeling that the whole life is gone. Death is coming closer. And because of the death coming closer, either you become spiritual or you become more sexual. These are the only two defenses. Either you turn in search for truth, for the eternal, which will have no death, or you start drowning yourself into more erotic fantasies. And particularly intellectuals, those who have lived their whole life through the head, are more victims at the age 45. Then the sexuality takes a revenge. It has been denied. Now death is coming closer. And then one never knows whether you will be here again or not, whether life will be there or not. Death is coming here. And you have lived a life of the head. Sexuality erupts with a vengeance. Carl Gustav Jung fell in love with a young woman. Now it was very much against his prestige. The wife was disturbed. And the wife had loved him tremendously and trusted him. He rationalized it beautifully. Look at his rationalization. That's how unconscious man goes on living. He will do something unconsciously, then will try to rationalize it and will try to prove that it is not unconscious. I am doing it very consciously. In fact, it has to be done. What he did? He developed suddenly a theory that there are two types of women in the world. One, the mother type, the caring type, the wife type, and the other, the mistress type, the beloved, who becomes an inspiration. And man needs both. And certainly a man like Carl Gustav Jung certainly needs both. He needs inspiration too. He needs a caring woman that his wife is fulfilling. She is loving, a mother type. But that doesn't fulfill his need. He needs an inspiration too. He needs a romantic woman too, a mistress, which can take him into deep dreams. That is a must for him. He developed this theory. This is the rationalization. Now, he never developed the other part of it, that men are two types. That's where you can find that it is a rationalization. If it was really insight, then the other part, that men are two types, the father type and the lover type. And Jung's wife needs two. If Jung thinks that he is a lover type, then she needs the father type. If Jung thinks he is a father type, then she needs a lover type. But that he never developed. That's how you can see it is not an insight. It is just tricky mind, a rationalization. We go on rationalizing. We do things unconsciously. We do them without knowing why we are doing them. But we cannot accept the fact. It is very humiliating to accept that I have been doing something which I am not aware, which I don't know why. Beware of rationalizations. Gurdjieff used to talk about a future psychology. He used to say that psychology still exists not, because how it can exist? Even man exists not. When man is not there, how can there be a science about man? First the man has to exist, then the science about the man can exist. Right now whatsoever exists is not psychology. Maybe it is something about the machine the man is. Psychology can exist only around a Buddha, with consciousness. Buddha lives. You can find what his psyche is, what his soul is. Ordinary man lives without a soul. Yes, you can find something wrong in his mechanism, and that wrong can be put right. What we know as psychology today is nothing but behaviorism. And in that sense, Pavlov and Skinner are far truer than Freud and Jung. Because they think man is a machine. They are true about the man that exists, although they are not absolutely true, because they think this is the end. Man cannot be otherwise. That is their limitation. They think man can only be the machine. They are true as far as the present day man is concerned. Man is a machine. But they think that man cannot be otherwise. There they are wrong. But Freud and Jung and Adler are more wrong, because they think man is already on the earth. All that you need is to study man and you will know. But man is not there. It is a very unconscious phenomenon. Man is a myth. Let that be one of the most basic insights. It will help you to come out of the lie, out of the deception. Tantra is an effort to make you more conscious. The very word tantra means expansion of awareness. It comes from a Sanskrit root tan. Tan means expansion. Tantra means expansion of consciousness. And the basic fact and the most fundamental fact to be understood is that you are fast asleep. You have to be awakened. Tantra believes in school methods. That has to be understood also. In that sense, Gurdjieff is one of the greatest tantrikas of this age. For example, if man is asleep, there is very less possibility that one can become awake alone. Look at it in this way. On the New Year day, you think, as you have always thought, and many New Year days have passed, and always you have taken a vow that never again you will smoke. And again the New Year has come, and you start thinking, this time it is going to happen. You take a vow, that you will never smoke, but you don't go and tell it to others. You are afraid to. To say to others is dangerous, because you know yourself. Many times you have broken your vows. Then it is very humiliating. So you keep it to yourself. Now there are only one possibility out of 100 that the vow should be kept. 99 possibilities are that it will be broken sooner or later. You are an unconscious being. Your vow does not mean much. But if you go and you tell everybody in the town, friends, colleagues, children, wife, you go and tell everybody that I have taken a vow, that I am not going to smoke, there are more possibilities, at least 10% that you will not smoke. First there was only one possibility, now there are 10 possibilities. 90% cases, 90% the possibility is that you will smoke. But non-smoking has more grounds, more solidity. From 1% it has gone to 10%. But if you join a group of non-smokers, if you join a society of non-smokers, then the possibility is even more. 99% is the possibility that you will not smoke. What happens? When you are alone, you don't have any support from outside. You are alone. You can fall asleep easily. And nobody knows, so you are not worried either. When all know that their knowing will function to keep you more alert. Now your ego is at stake. Your respect and honor is at stake. But if you join a society of non-smokers, then the possibility is even more. Because you live through habits. Somebody takes his cigarette box out of his pocket and suddenly you start looking in your pocket. You are just mechanical. Somebody is smoking and you start thinking how beautiful it was to smoke. Nobody smokes. And you are in the society of non-smokers. Then nobody will remind you. And the habit, by and by, will disappear out of no use. If a habit is not used, it by and by disappears. It tends to become dead. It loses grip on you. Tantra says men can become awake only through group methods, through schools. That's why I insist so much for sannyas. Alone, you don't stand a chance. Together, much more possibility. It is as if 10 persons are lost in a desert. And it is very dangerous in the night. The enemies can kill them. The wild animals can kill them. The robbers can come. The murderers can come. It is very difficult. Now they decide on a group method. They say each one will be awake for 1 hour. To think that each one will be capable of remaining awake for 8 hours in the night is to ask too much from an unconscious man. But each one will remain awake for 1 hour. And before he starts falling asleep, he should make somebody else awake. Then there is more possibility that at least one of the group will be awake the whole night. Or, as Gurdjieff used to say, you are in a prison and you want to come out of the prison. Alone, there is not much chance. But if all the prisoners become a group, then there is much more chance. They can throw the guards. They can kill the guard. They can break the wall. If all the prisoners are together, then there is much more chance that they can come out into freedom. But the chances will increase even more if they are in contact with few people who are outside the prison, who are already free. That is the whole meaning of finding a master, finding somebody who is already outside the prison. He can be of tremendous help for many reasons. He can supply necessary things which will be needed for you to come out of the prison. He can send instruments, files, so that you can break out of the prison. He can watch from the outside and he can inform you when the guards change. In that interval, there is a possibility to get out. He can inform you when the guards fall asleep in the night. He can make arrangements so that the guards are drunk on one particular night. He can invite the jailer to his house for a party. He can do 1001 things which you cannot do from the inside. He can find support for you from the outside. He can create an atmosphere so when you are released from the jail, you will be accepted by the people. You will be sheltered, taken into houses. If the society is not ready to accept you from the outside, you may come out of the jail, but the society will deliver you back to the prison authorities. To be in contact with someone who is already awake is a must. And to be together with those people who are all thinking to become awake is also a must. This is the meaning of a school method, a group method. Tantra is a group method. It says be together. Find out all the possibilities. So many people can be together and they can pool their energies. Somebody is very intelligent and somebody is very loving. Both are half, but together they become more of a unity, more wholeness. Man is half, woman is half. Except Tantra, all the seekers have tried to do without the other. Man has tried alone, women have tried alone. Tantra says, why not be together, join hands together. The woman is half, the man is half. Together they are a greater energy, a more whole energy, a healthier energy. Join together. Let yin and yang function together. There will be more possibility to get out of it. Other methods use fight and conflict. Man starts fighting with women. He starts escaping from women. Rather than using the possibility of the help, he starts thinking as if the woman is the enemy. Tantra says this is sheer foolishness. You are wasting your energy unnecessarily fighting with the woman. Because there are greater things to be fought about. It is better to keep company with the woman. Let her help you. And you help her. Go together as one unit. And you have more chances to stand against the unconscious nature. Use all possibilities. Then only there is some chance that you can evolve into a conscious being. You can become a Buddha.
In today's program, you listened to different numbers of Prem Joshua. Also, you heard Miten and Premal. And before and after the discourse, a number was played by Chintan from his CD Kajimo. That song is called Dolphin Flow. We're going to finish now with an Indian number, again by Prem Joshua. Bye-bye, everybody. Stay tuned to Osho Radio. We'll be there again for you next time. Bye-bye and Namaste.